This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Seth Greenberg, who was a little earlier than normal on a Monday. Josh Pastor and his face shield will join us coming up in about a half an hour or so. We'll take your phone number again, 844-SAY-ACCN. We still have games to get into, a crazy weekend, which leads to the best and worst of the weekend, Wes. And man, there was so much going on in the ACC this weekend in so many different sports. And we always like to start with the positive side, with the best of the weekend.
All right, now we have basketball, we have lacrosse, we have baseball, we have softball, we have swimming and diving. Am I missing one? Wrestling comes up this weekend, right?
Correct. Tennis.
Tennis. I mean, that's seven? Seven sports. All right, let's start with baseball. Opening day, college baseball, last weekend, right? Friday.
Friday.
Shane Muntz of Wake Forest wastes no time. No time. He goes GS in his first at-bat of the season, Pack?
That's where you start right there. One for one. Look at the numbers, BPI. Let me have it. How about that? That's the way you start a season right there. Nice.
Four RBIs on the first swing. Congratulations. Holy cow, how good is that? Virginia's women's swimming and diving team won their 17th ACC title?
That is correct.
This is crazy stuff.
And Paige Madden, who joined us a year ago, continues to rock and roll. Right. She goes back to back. But not all was lost for the Hoos this week in sports. The ladies take care of business.
Tell the truth there. So congratulations to Virginia's women's swimming and diving team, 17th ACC title. We told you part of the best of the weekend, Duke, huge win over Virginia. Saturday night at Cameron over on ESPN, 66-65 the final. There's Jamin Brakefield, who played very well off Coach K's bench. Thought DJ Stewart was big, so was Jeremy Roach, but Matthew Hurt paved the way for the Blue Devils, Pack.
Doesn't look anything like the team. They gave up 90-something to North Carolina at home and lost, and 90-something to Notre Dame at home and lost. Nope, the last three conference games have been more like it. And this Duke team is starting to feel it a little bit, yep. And I kept telling you, and in fact, Seth used the same term, opportunities. The good news for Duke, you have plenty of opportunities, including tonight's game with Syracuse. And to be honest with you, I think Duke needs to win every one of those games, in my opinion.
Yep. Sean McDonough, Corey Alexander have the call for you tonight on ESPN of the Orange and the Blue Devils. You see Louisville and Carolina in there and a road trip to Georgia Tech.
Won't be easy.
That's a pretty solid finishing kick for Coach K's team, by the way.
Somebody walks out of Cameron tonight on a four-game winning streak. Just saying. I think one of our over and unders the other day, a couple weeks ago, was will somebody win five in a row? And I thought somebody would get five straight. Well, somebody's going to walk out tonight on a four-game winning streak, either the Orange or the Mighty Blue Devils, according to Robin the Duke fan. So keep your eye on that one.
All right. This had to be one of your best of the weekend. Bourbon intake in the Commonwealth at an all-time high? Oh, I know these are all
yes.
yours.
Yes. The Commonwealth and bourbon go hand in hand, and it really comes in handy when your homeboys are getting beat by 45. And that, again, it was just one of those nights where, hey, you're better off with some brown water, a dog, and a good fire. And if somebody can make a good steak, it'll go for that too. But it was not the best of nights for Louisville basketball. Wes, there will be better times ahead for the Cards, but they got to get to work. I mean, they're not a lock.
Yeah, you're right about that. Louisville back in action tomorrow night against Notre Dame. Syracuse, second half comeback against Notre Dame. Down 20, win by 8. Good heavens. And I don't think did Notre Dame shoot 25% from the floor in the second half? I know it was a struggle.
Well, they were in such cruise control. I mean, the amazing thing about the game for folks that watched it was you never had a sense that Syracuse had a run. Like, all right, you know, they're down 20 and there's nobody in the stands. And I mean, look at Jim Boeheim in the background. He got his feet out like, oh my God, what are we doing? And then all of a sudden, you know, Notre Dame started getting sloppy with the basketball. Cuse got a couple steals. Buddy makes some threes, and it goes 20-12 to 6-4, and boom, see you later. And two really epic losses for Notre Dame. They'll look back, like I said, to the loss at Georgia Tech, up 17 in the second half, and up 20 in the second half at Syracuse. Both those got away, and Mike Bray will take inventory and go, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But a great, important win for Orange yesterday. Or Saturday.
All right. Let's shift gears over to tennis. Clemson's men's tennis team beat Florida State for the first time in 7 years over the weekend. So congratulations to the Tigers on that.
Yeah, I figured we need some we need some tennis love. We've been, you know, we gave golf a little sprinkling here and some swimming and diving, and lacrosse gets a lot of love, and we probably eventually will talk about fencing and stuff. But here was the tennis nugget of the weekend. First time in a while for the Tigers.
Yep. So congratulations to Clemson. Pac mentioned this briefly when we were talking about the bourbon in the Commonwealth. Boy, good to see Malik Williams back on the floor for Louisville this week. Even in a losing effort at Chapel Hill, got 17 minutes of action for Coach Mack. And again, Coach Greenberg talked about this. He might be the best, you know, pick and roll guy in the ACC as a post, and definitely knows how to handle the pass sequences off stuff, and that'll do nothing but help Louisville. Now, question is, how steep is that hill for the Cards for the postseason? I think we're getting ready to find out here in the next week or so. So good to see Malik Williams back on the floor, Pac.
No, and listen, I had to reach to find some positives with Louisville this weekend that did not include baseball, which we'll get to. But it was a tough, tough weekend for Louisville in the hardwood. And again, the men's team has 0 wins in quad one. That they can't just limp into March and think, oh, we're Louisville, we're in. They got work to do. And obviously, that what you saw Saturday in Chapel Hill, that is not Louisville basketball. They will get better once they get their legs under them. But just having Malik Williams back in lineup is a very, very good sign.
All right. Let's gear down to softball. Virginia Tech's Kelsey Brown in left field work against Clemson.
Look at that catch.
There's one. That hit the wall.
That's about where I was hitting 6 irons 30, 40 years ago, right down that third base line. You got to be careful. There's a pothole down there.
You're all right.
Pure beaver tail divots I used to lay down there, hitting those 6 irons before they turned into the softball field. She made two great catches.
You've covered that up.
That wasn't
she did.
Only one she made. She made two unbelievable catches in left field. Tremendous.
Yeah. Congratulations to Kelsey Brown. Florida State's women upset number 3 Louisville yesterday in basketball, 68-59. Morgan Jones went crazy.
Sure did.
She had 26 for Coach Brooke and the Noles. Dana Evans, a sub-20 game, by the way.
Yeah, she just
and
said,
a tough shooting day.
Yeah, she had
for the
Dana
Player
had,
of the Year candidate.
Yeah, she just had one of those days. She couldn't make anything. Seemed to be the someone was into bourbon apparently in Louisville this weekend. Women go down, men get blown out. The problem here for Louisville is, according to quote-unquote experts, bracketology, they are now a 2 seed with that loss. 2 seed for Louisville. Mm. So that was a great win for Florida State, though. Great win for Florida State.
Yep. Miami, we're going to go to baseball here.
Mm.
How about Miami goes to Gainesville and wins the season opening series against Florida?
And that's not just Florida. That's number
Gino
one.
Gino Damari, that's a big deal there now.
Well, it's a big deal. Florida, new ballpark. Hey, let us crack open the champagne and go ahead and give you guys a loss. You can always remember that new ballpark with Miami coming in there and going, hey, scoreboard, you used to be number one, Florida. Thank you very much. Catch you later. And Miami lost the first game, won the last two. Yesterday, they were cruising up 8-0 and held on to win 8-6, but that is a great way to start for Miami baseball, to go ahead and, again, christen that new stadium up there in Gainesville. Say thank you very much. You guys are nice unis. Scoreboard. Great job,
heck
by
of
Miami.
Heck of a series win for Gino DeMari and the Canes. All right, now, Louisville, Carolina, Boston College, and Clemson all swept their season opening series as well in ACC baseball. Tigers got the Bearcats of Cincinnati over the weekend.
And the key, there would be three-game series. I know some folks would be screaming, hey, we won two. No, we're talking about three-game series here. North Carolina, Louisville, BC, Clemson all take care of business. First of all, I'm just going to tell you, it was just great to have baseball back. I got to tell you.
Sure.
Especially with the way the season ended last year, everybody road tripping and all of a sudden you had to do a U-turn because everything got shut down in early March.
Yep.
But I know the weather wasn't great around the country, but just really, really cool that college baseball is back. And we will certainly have it covered here
on
ACC Network.
You bet. The other thing we've got covered for you Friday is women's lacrosse, which is coming up on ACC Network. Look at this. We got three of them starting at 12:30. Look at all the numbers in the rankings. Number 11, Boston College, welcomes Southern California.
The real
or lacrosse.
Yeah.
Then number 12, Duke. And number 1, North Carolina. And then Oregon against number 2, Notre Dame. Right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. We're going to, at least for the moment, say that's Southern California, okay? It could very well be the University of South Carolina.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to go with Southern California.
There's only one USC. I mean, when you say USC, you know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Maybe we'll double-check that during the break. No, I'm with you all the way on that. You know how I feel about that.
Man, I got a bunch of buddies in Columbia. They call themselves South Carolina. I know who you are. South Carolina. There's USC and there's South Carolina.
Right. There you go. All right. We'll take a break. Coming back. When there's good, there's bad. And Jeff Walls. Oh, my goodness. Miami at home. Boy, Moses Wright's on there dunking. Oh, that's because Georgia Tech was just throwing them in against the Canes early. And a tough weekend for Cardinal fans. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on ACC Network. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And for folks watching and or listening, just for future consideration, we have nothing to do with the promos. Okay, so there's no need to send any more nasty emails, texts, letters, carriers. We have nothing to do with promos. We just show up and do the show, right? Just want to let everybody know in case you had some concerns about promos that you might see on ACC Network. We got nothing to do with it. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada.
Nuka. We're here at 7. We leave at 10.
Well, some of us. Some of us never leave. All right, let's rock it with, unfortunately, the
You're
worst.
You're right. Some of us do never leave.
I never leave.
Right. We've never been leave. Here since June.
Never leave.
All right. June 8th, right? We've been here since June 8th. We never leave.
Like that. Something like that. Yeah. All right, it's time for, unfortunately, the worst of the weekend, and there are a bunch to choose from. And again, there was a lot happening in the ACC over the weekend. And, Wes, we're going to start with softball. And there was a streak that continued, unfortunately, for one particular team in the league. Just can't seem to get over the hump. And I know Florida State women's softball program is out of sight. But, man, the Jackets.
Right.
The Jackets see Florida State on the schedule, and it's like, time to go to bed. Good night. They can't beat them.
18 straight losses, Pack.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things. I mean, you go, really? Yeah. That's what's happened. 18 straight.
I mean,
Florida State added to it over the weekend.
Yeah. You just think like in baseball and softball, because you play so many games, it just, you know, one day you just get out of bed and the ball bounces right and they can't hit it and they drop it and they're throwing all over it. Nope. Florida State just has Georgia Tech's number. Somehow. 18 in a row.
Tell the truth.
It's ugly.
Louisville Hoops has returned off the COVID pause twice. And both times, they just like to forget. The combined number is 82 points. And Mark, I was watching this Saturday night thinking to myself, self, how is it that Florida State comes off a pause and shoots 71% and beats NC State by 30-some? And Louisville has come off pause twice and is going to get shelled twice. I just don't quite know that I understand.
Well, the other thing, too, you watch a team like Michigan. They go 3 weeks. They go off and win at Wisconsin, outscored by 20 in the second half. And their game yesterday with Ohio State was as good a basketball game as you'd want to watch. So I can't explain it, Wes. Some teams have done a great job with it. Some teams look like they're completely lost. I mean, Clemson went 2 weeks where all of a sudden they went from having this great resume, they couldn't defend for 2 weeks. I mean, they're just getting blitzkrieg. So I don't know. That's why if you're a Louisville fan, there has to be, you just chalked that one up. That was a loss. We didn't play well. But, hey, you got to show signs of life coming down the stretch. As Seth Greenberg pointed out, and we mentioned it, 0 wins in the quad one department. There are still opportunities for Louisville. The good news, Malik Williams is in the lineup. But they can ill afford to have back-to-back lousy weeks heading into the ACC tournament. Right. They need some wins coming down the stretch.
Yep. MJ Walker, who very well could be first-team All-ACC, might even be a strong candidate for ACC Player of the Year, went scoreless in Saturday's game at Pittsburgh.
Amazing. I know he's been nicked up with the ankle a little bit during the week, but he's such a terrific player. He's still found ways to contribute, which makes him so valuable. But, man, for Florida State to have arguably their guy with a zero from that standpoint, look, he just couldn't get one to drop. But, yeah, it's still next man up for Florida State. They just keep playing and just keep wearing you down. But disappointing number there for MJ. And, you know, when you don't score, Wes, that means there's nothing happening on the free throw line. Let me just get everybody up to speed on our little bet, our side bet here. MJ Walker still at 85.7% accuracy from the free throw line. I bought Mega Millions. Here's the ticket in case anybody thinks I'm making this up. Here's my $2 not well spent. The numbers that were selected were 21, 24, 57, 59, 69, and, of course, 19, my favorite number. And that was an 0-for-6 effort there. 0-for-6 for me. So I am now down to an 86.4% inaccuracy rate. So I'm at 86.4 inaccuracy rate, and MJ Walker's an 85.7 accuracy rate. It is going to be tight down the stretch.
What are we? Okay, we got free throws and Gina Conti going to some charitable donation.
Whatever Wake Forest comes up with.
What about MJ Walker and Mega Millions? We got something on the residual for that?
Whatever Florida State wants to do, whoever wins that one. See, I don't want MJ to lose because, you know, he's a student athlete.
No.
He doesn't own me. He doesn't know
you
anything.
You don't want Gina to lose either.
Well, I hope I want Gina to make them all, but when she misses, they still win because I'm coming off the hip to make a charitable donation to the Wake Forest Women's Basketball Program's favorite charity in Winston-Salem. But this MJ Walker, Mark Packer lottery free throw thing is getting tight. I mean, it is close. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Miami, worst of the weekend. Packer in the lottery. A big-time loss.
I am 14 of 162. I've had 162 selections. I've gotten 14 right. 14 numbers right. Not doing well there.
Brutal.
Nothing happening.
All right. Neither was Miami in the first half against Georgia Tech, by the way.
Goodness
gracious. Canes watched a lot of this. Moses Wright.
Wes.
Michael DeVoe, by the way, career high 29. Josh Pastner coming up in about 5 minutes.
Hey, that can't be right. Michael DeVoe just was on our show, career high. Wait a minute. Those Virginia Tech fans that peppered me with all that curses
what
and all that nonsense.
What about Marek Dolezal? He also had 18 Saturday after being on the show.
All those curse things and jinx are just comical. But I tell you what's not a laughing matter is the injury bug for Jim Larnaga. I mean, they have no guards. And you know, Isaiah Wong has been fantastic. he gets nicked up again, and you're like, man, they just don't have any guards. And I mean, I feel sorry for Miami. I really do. It's just there is nothing. Yep. There is nothing that Jim Larrañaga can do. I mean, when you take away Likes is now out and done. Wong goes down. Beverly, and you go through the whole list. It's like, my goodness, just can't keep anybody healthy at Miami for basketball. Yep. Just can't do it. But Georgia Tech played well.
There you go.
They played out of sight.
They did. Miami's first half performance against Georgia Tech, eerily similar to what Georgia Tech's women did in the fourth quarter against Boston College that ultimately cost them the game. Only 2 points for Nell Fortner's team in the final 10 minutes of play at Chestnut Hill. And as a result, Coach Mack and the Eagles win 49-43.
Well, I'm happy for BC. It's been a tough year for both the men and the women, especially in league play. So it was very cool to see BC get a great win. But, you know, listen, Nell was on the show last week on game day. Yep. They play Florida State. What they do? They won the game. Was Nell on with us yesterday? No. Why? Because we didn't have a show.
Nope.
So you can't blame any kind of jinx or curses on Nell was on the show. Look what happened to Georgia Tech. No, we weren't on the air yesterday. She shows up, wins the game on game day. Just like Roy Williams shows up on game day, they win the game. But a two spot, Wes, Georgia Tech did not make a field goal in the fourth quarter yesterday. Zero.
That's right.
That is a bad combination. Just going to tell you. Don't like your chances.
Yes, it is.
So, great win for BC.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's not good.
Dana Evans was 5 of 21 from the floor yesterday when Louisville, number 3 in the country, lost to Florida State. Fourth quarter also pivotal in this one as well. Just a tough day for Dana Evans. I mean, like you talked about it, they bounced around the cylinder all afternoon for her.
I mean, when you look at the standings with the ladies, Louisville's 13-2, NC State is 10-2, Georgia Tech's loss drops them to 11-5, Syracuse and Florida State are 8-6. You got Virginia Tech, you got Wake, you got Notre Dame at 500. We know how good it is at the top, but man, 3-8 in the ACC for the ladies is wide open. Last week coming up too, by the way, final week of the regular season coming up.
All right. When we come back, Josh Pastner returns to this show. Georgia Tech's head basketball coach will be here. And Mark Packer has some very probing questions about a week ago Friday night. Why did you not go to another Shield at Clemson? And how many of them are there? And can we get one for the basement? All that and more coming up next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN. What's the matter with you, Durham? You all right? What's the problem over there?
I love the stories that come from the weekend. I mean, you got people sending stuff to you. We got Josh Pastner coming up here because I know what's coming on the face shield. I know you got questions, all that stuff.
Well, I was just telling a story that a person who listens to me on SiriusXM sent me a gift unexpectedly, and my wife always gets nervous when I get stuff. I'm like, she's always worried about listeners sending me stuff, which I get all the time. And I'm like, I love it. And so it turns out this one wonderful woman, Sue Hicks, who I do not know, who lives in Bethlehem, PA, which ironically is tied into our family, had sent me, because she listens to the radio show, she sent me handmade ceramic Christmas ornaments of bourbon bottles with Packer Mark. And she did really cool stuff. So they're really cool. And in addition to that, she sent me Woodford Reserve bourbon balls. Now, let me tell
you. For the win. There you go. Way to go, Sue.
For the win. So, shout out to Sue
Hicks. For the win.
Hey, let me tell you something.
There you go, Sue.
If you don't think I couldn't have put away, there's two in a box. Two balls in a box. Bourbon balls.
Yeah.
You don't think I couldn't have put 50 of those bad boys away. Those things were awesome. Now, if you're looking, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you're looking for a Christmas gift, because I'm so hard to shop for Christmas, it's only February 22nd. Woodford Reserve bourbon balls were spectacular.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks. Hint. Let's move along, shall we?
Hint.
Let's go to Atlanta. Let's go to Atlanta while you continue to solicit yourself gifts. And welcome Josh Pastner back to this show, because Packer has very, very important questions for the head coach of the Jackets. First of all, congratulations on a sense dirt for Packer and Durham. Georgia Tech had never won an ACC road game by 27 until Saturday. That's a pretty good sense dirt stat right there, Coach.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. And let me first say this. I'm a huge fan of Coach Larrañaga and his staff. They've obviously been really hurt by injuries. They are a great program. I think he's done a great job to keep the guys together, to keep their team together. Mm. I know that's not easy to do. I've been there where you've had some of your key best players have had injuries. You're out. It's not easy, especially in this league. So first off, I want to give a kudos and credit to Coach Larrañaga and his staff for keeping guys together. And then secondly, you know, we played well on both ends of the ball. We shot the ball well. You know, when you're making threes like that, obviously the basket opens up. And you kind of get hot, and our guys, you know, played well on both sides of the ball. And so I was proud of our young men. We played the right way, both offensively and defensively, and for 40 minutes. And so, you know, in this stretch run here, we got to continue to play well, and we got to continue because we got some tough games coming up starting tomorrow night at Virginia Tech.
You know, Coach, that's the thing, though, coming down this stretch, when everybody starts looking at net more specifically and really start breaking down numbers, quality wins, bad losses, all that stuff, all you want are opportunities, right? And you know what? The good news for you and your team is the way this schedule lays out, you've got plenty of opportunities, assuming knock on wood these games are played, and that's all you ask for. You know, you'd much rather have tough games as opposed to, hey, we're going to go play Cupcake U and load up on three easy W's that really don't maybe help your resume. But you're going to get those chances. And like you said, it begins tomorrow night in Blacksburg.
No, you're right. Look, in life, and I told this to our guys multiple times, in life, everything's just about opportunities. I mean, all you can ask for is opportunities. You never know when that door or window is going to open for you for that opportunity. And when it does, you've got to be ready to go through it and take advantage of it. I mean, that's just life. So the great thing with our schedule upcoming is we have opportunities. You know, again, assuming the game's played, as we all know, anything can happen due to COVID-19. But, you know, you've got at Virginia Tech, Syracuse at home, Duke at home, at Wake Forest, and then obviously the ACC tournament. So we've got incredible opportunities, as you mentioned. And the great thing is we can control our own destiny. And by doing that is by playing well, trying to win the games. Not easy to do in this league. I think it's the best league in all of college basketball. What I'm disappointed about is people talk about the Big Ten or the Big 12. Hey, the ACC's the best. It's hands down, it's the best. They've got, you know how many Hall of Fame coaches we have in this league and future Hall of Fame coaches? We've got so many pros in this league. For some reason, people aren't talking about the ACC. The ACC should be getting 10 teams, maybe 11, every single year in the NCAA tournament. I don't want to hear about the other leagues. This is the best league in all of college basketball. Let me go down the laundry list of Hall of Fame guys. I can give you about four more guys in this league are going to be in the Hall of Fame. The pros in this league, how we're not having 10 or 11 teams, people got to get with it. The media has to understand. Everyone has to understand. I hope the committee understands 10 to 11 teams this year in the NCAA tournament. And it should be that every year. That should be that's how it should be. This league is the best in all of college basketball.
Pack.
Well, all right, I'll follow up. Great, Coach. You know what? You have opportunities to prove your worth, all right? I'd love to see 12, 15. I love everybody to be in. But we do have to draw the line somewhere, and you got to go beat people of note. The good news is you have that chance. All right, now here's what I want to know. Couple things. Do you have a face shield nearby in the house? Yes or no? Oh, all right.
So oh!
I want to conduct the rest of the interview with that bad boy on. All right. That's great. Number two, is it possible? No. Let me go back to the Clemson game. You cracked the face shield. Why did you not go with the backup and say, no, I'm going to go with this one I just mangled? What was the reasoning behind that?
You know, the real reason I didn't go with the mangled, I stayed with the mangled one. I kind of liked it. It felt comfortable. And I actually, after the game, threw it away. I didn't realize at the time it was screwed up or mangled. I wasn't even in the mind space to see that. Now, when I realized after the game it was all screwed up, I did throw it in the trash can. But I actually am comfortable coaching in the face shield. A couple things. Let me just say this. You know, I have, you know, the mask for me when I'm coaching, it's harder for me because I feel like I'm pulling it down a lot and touching my face more often than I am with the face shield. And I can see more clearly with the face shield. Now, when I'm not wearing the face shield, I don't wear one mask. I wear double mask. So I'm trying to do the best I can outside. When I'm not actually coaching on the floor, I wear two masks. But I love coaching in the face shield. It allows me to see everything. Yes, that face shield was mangled. And actually our trainer, Richard Stewart, came up to me and says, Coach, you want a new face shield? I go, no, I'm fine. This is fine. This during the course of the Clemson game. So, it's good for me, the face shield. And I would like to send you guys one, if I could, as an honorary one, so you guys could possibly wear one as well on while you're doing your radio show.
Well, here's the thing. I would like, and I mentioned this last week, because this is a kind of a Jeff Collins special. He's all about the brand, the 404, and you know, we got a signed football helmet in here somewhere over here on the left. I would like, if possible, if it's not asking too much, for you to sign a face shield. You can put it in the gold Sharpie ink and do whatever you want on it, right? Whatever, because I would like to have the signed Josh Pastner face shield for the basement. I think that'd be fantastic. That'd be a great addition to the show.
I will get you a signed face shield, and I'll personalize it just to you and have a nice comment on it. So I got you covered.
All right. That's all we were asking for. We get that. It's in
pack.
I'm not going to say it's up there with the Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, but it would be one of the best gifts I've received there lately.
Pack, I have one question, though. Before Coach sends us the face shield, do you want him to spike it on the scorer's table at Castle Coliseum before he sends it?
No. I'm going to tell you why. Even though I'm a Clemson alum, had you won the game, I would have wanted it mangled and sent. But the fact that one got away from you, I don't want any – I want this one to be a clean Miami kind of face shield where, hey, team played well. I got a good vibe to it. It's a Georgia Tech special, so I don't want the mangled one just because of the way that game turned out. That's why.
I'll get you a clean face shield personalized just to you.
That's it. That's all we're asking for.
Josh, I want to go back to a topic that you and I have talked about, and I want to add one to it. Michael DeVoe, great game on Saturday. He's the guy who I think kind of personifies the development piece of your program. The guy who's going to take all those headlines, though, is Moses Wright. Because he's a 1,000-point scorer, he's done all the things that you expect a senior to do, a four-year player. Speak to the development aspect of your program in building the bigger program with those two guys in particular. And I guess you can throw Jose in there too if you want to, but I'm just looking at the huge strides Moses has taken in four and what DeVoe has done beyond just being a shooter for you.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, what I would tell you is I really believe in for us to be successful in this league. And I know I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. This is the best league in all of college basketball. Multiple Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, pros left and right all throughout the league. So for us to have success, one, we've got to be really good in evaluation and recruiting. Now, recruiting is a very inexact science. You want to get the best players you can get, but you never know how things are going to turn out. You just don't know. It's an inexact science. Mm. However, what we have to be perfect at is player development. We have to get guys better. And ever since I've been here, and even my time at Memphis as a head coach, I've always hired really good coaches who are really good floor coaches. I've always had great assistant coaches who can really coach on the floor. And nothing's changed here at my time at Georgia Tech. We have gotten guys better. And that credit goes to the assistant coaches. They have developed guys. They have gotten guys better. My current staff right now is Eric Revenot, Anthony Wilkins, and Julian Schwartz. So the staff deserves the credit. But then the players deserve all the credit as well because they have bought into the player development system. So I got to give the credit to the assistants because they spend the time on getting guys better and improving guys. But that is a staple of what we do, and we have gotten guys better. And Michael DeVoe, Moses Wright, Jose Alvarado, these guys are examples of guys getting better. And for us to have success in this league, we guys have to get better. And I also want to say I saw in the headline thing underneath there before the Michael DeVoe one was that and let me just say this on Moses Wright. He hit over 1,000 points. Michael DeVoe hit 1,000 points the game before. Those are great accomplishments. Jose Alvarado hit 1,000 points the year before. I mean, those are great accomplishments. But let me say this. Underneath it said we were ninth place with a 7-6 ACC record because of the schedule imbalance, because of the so many teams you're playing based on winning percentage. How can you determine finishing this year? That is my thing. This league is so good. I don't want to hear six or seven teams should be in the tournament from this league in the NCAA tournament. 10 or 11. Every year, 10 or 11 from this league should be in. That's how good this league is. Because of the schedule imbalance, not everyone's going to play as many games based on COVID-19. That's just going to how it's going to be. The places are going to be are going to differ this year. But and I know you guys probably think I'm a little cuckoo when I say this. I am telling you, being in this league, this is. I hear about the Big Ten and the Big 12 or this conference. 9 to 10 to 11 teams every single year should be in the NCAA tournament. Hall of Fame coaches, future Hall of Fame guys, pros. This is the best college basketball league every single year. And I know I'm in the league, so I'm being a little bit maybe biased, but I'm talking from a basketball perspective. There's nothing better. I really believe we deserve 10 to 11 teams in the NCAA tournament.
All right, you hit a nerve real quick before I let you go. You mentioned COVID. You got the Hokies tomorrow. We have seen teams, some, look terrific after a COVID pause. We have seen some teams look like I'm out there shooting baskets, right? We go, what in the world is going on? Do you have any preconceived expectations of what you will maybe see with Virginia Tech tomorrow? What do you think that's going to look like?
Well, look, I mean, Coach Young, I mean, first of all, look at the job he did at Wofford. Unbelievable. And then the job he's doing at Virginia Tech. I mean, he's, you know, on pace to be National Coach of the Year. They've got a very, very good basketball team. They were playing as well as any team in all of college basketball. And so, yes, they hit a pause. And you don't know how people are going to come out of pauses. I mean, you see what happened. You know, Louisville struggled coming out of pause. Clemson has struggled. We came out of pause, played really well. Florida State came out of pause, played really well. You just don't know. So we have to prepare that Virginia Tech's going to be really good because they are a great basketball team. They've got a great coach. They've got great players. And you just don't know. And that's part of the deal with COVID-19. You just don't know. It's kind of just a – you know, roll the dice type of situation. And all we can do is control us. And we've got to play really well tomorrow. We're going to play our best game of the year if we want to have a chance to win the game against a great Virginia Tech team.
Because they're clearly one of the 10 or 11 teams, Pack, from this league that deserve to go to the NCAA tournament.
They're going to be in. They're definitely
They're in. They're in. And I'm just telling you, I there hasn't been a year since I've been in this league that I don't think 10 or 11 teams, minimum nine. Minimum, the lowest that we should never have is nine. And I believe we're good enough to have 10 and 11. This league is the best.
I'm with you.
I'm just telling you. You want me to go down the laundry list of coaches who are about to be in the Hall of Fame or just not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, you could already just go in. And the pros in the league, I'm just telling you, It's a no-brainer. No-brainer. And I'm hoping the committee hears me and listens on this year in and year out about the ACC.
Coach, the show does end at 10 a.m., so I'm not sure you're going to have enough time to get all that in.
Hey.
There we go. Love it.
There it is. Thanks, Josh. Be well. Good luck
tomorrow
night.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right. Josh Pastor, Georgia Tech. Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment, Pac.
That face shield's going to look good in here. That's a good. That would be a good addition to the basement. Signed, sealed, and
right there with the syrup over your left shoulder. I can see it coming.
Yeah,
right up there. Yeah, Pack. Yeah, go Pack.
Go Pack. Dave Dorn.
Go Pack. Go Pack. Yeah. All right. We got more basketball coming up. Scotty Barnes in the 9 o'clock hour on this program. We're going to review the night in women or the weekend in women's basketball when we come back. By the way, women's basketball doubleheader coming up for you this week right here on ACC Network. Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Virginia Tech Clemson gets us started. And then at 8, BC Syracuse right here on ACC Network streaming live on the ESPN app. Back with more as we work our way to the Power Hour next on the ACC Network. Thanks for joining us this morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Randy Shannon first made his mark at the University of Miami as a player on the legendary Hurricane squads of the mid-80s, helping to lead Miami to the 1987 national title. After a brief NFL stint, Shannon joined the Canes coaching staff in 1991 and worked his way through the coaching ranks, eventually becoming the first African-American coach in program history in 2007. Packer and Durham honor Randy Shannon and all the black athletes that paved the way in the ACC as we celebrate black history, always here on ACC Network. Good man. And, of course, Miami looking to bounce back, preseason top 10, according to some, as we get ready for the 21 season. Mm. We'll see.
Yep. Quick check of women's basketball from yesterday. We already told you that Florida State upset Louisville yesterday, 68-59. Morgan Jones had a double-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds for the Noles in the win. They outscored the Ville 29-16 in the fourth. And Charlie Cream, who's the women's basketball bracketologist at ESPN.com, now has Louisville on the two line for his NCAA tournament projections, which 3 weeks from tonight is the women's selection show, by the way.
I will be curious to see what the AP poll looks like today for the men and the women. Because remember, Louisville takes a L. South Carolina lost. I mean, where does NC State? They got to get a bump up, right? They knocked off the heels yesterday. We'll go through all these scores. And I'll also be curious to see what happens on the men's side in terms of the top 25. Not that that matters as far as the NCAA goes, but I think the AP voting has been kind of all over the place. There have been some teams that have been getting love.
Yeah,
and I just don't get, quite frankly. So we'll see where that goes this afternoon.
Yeah. You mentioned NC State; they got revenge on Carolina for the loss over in Chapel Hill, right? Won by 19. Ja'Kia Brown Turner, 25-6 for the Pack, who continue to roll. Three straight wins of at least 15 points against conference opponents. Mark.
And wow. I mentioned earlier, Louisville is 13-2 in the league. NC State is 10-2. Those are the two best teams, even though I would tell you there's probably a couple other clubs that right now are playing lights out that nobody wants to see.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where NC State and Louisville have got to find a way to get this thing finished so they can get into the tournament and they want to feel good about the way they're playing. The Wolfpack's there. The Cards are the ones that you want to keep an eye on here a little bit. Boston College beat Georgia Tech. That's an upset. Jackets of Nell Fortner had been rolling. Remember the win earlier this week against Florida State in Tallahassee? Well, they go to Chestnut Hill and throw 2 points on the board in the fourth quarter. No field goals. BC, who has been in and out of the COVID pause and really had a tough year for Coach McNamee, gets an upset win. Taylor Soule played well. Cameron Schwartz had 23, by the way, for Boston College in the win.
Taylor's been good all year. But BC's just having one of those years. They just haven't been able to find enough happy moments. But that was one yesterday. That was a really, really good win because Georgia Tech's been playing lights out.
Yeah, yeah. Asia Shepherd, 23 yesterday. Virginia Tech beat Syracuse. We said with Kenny Brooks on Friday it would be a big game, and it was. Hokies win 76-68, Mark.
Five in a row for Virginia Tech. And, man, I can't, as we said to Kenny when he was on with us on Friday, you go back to that stretch of six or seven games, it's just every close game they lost. And ever since they knocked off NC State at home, man, it's just been a different team. They are playing with a ton of confidence. And I know Louisville and NC State are the teams, but this team right here, Virginia Tech, I don't think anybody wants to see them on the schedule. That's how good right now.
I'm with you
Virginia
on that
Tech's
one.
Playing. They're playing well.
Yep. Yep. That is, you're right, and that is correct. It's going to be really interesting to watch and see how the ACC stacks up, not only for the women's tournament in Greensboro, and looking forward to the selection Monday, 3 weeks from today. When we come back, the Power Hour today with Scotty Barnes, the freshman from Florida State. Looking forward to that. Plus, we'll look at what else has made things tick and worth a watch coming up, Pack. Brought to you by Principal Financial Group, all part of the Power Hour on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.